This episode is brought to you by Curie Briefs, the smartest 3-minute read in medicine. Think of it like mental floss for busy clinicians. Sharp, concise, and clinically relevant. Check it out today at curie.md. And now, on to the show.
Medicine is full of contradictions. It's a profession built around helping people heal, and yet it quietly trains its own people to ignore their pain. Doctors learn to diagnose fatigue, but not to feel it. They learn how to manage suffering, but not necessarily how to admit their own. And somewhere along the way, the culture of medicine turned endurance into excellence and wellness into weakness. On today's episode of Curie, my guest is Dr. William Lines, a man who has lived that paradox. Dr. Lines trained at Stanford, built a thriving career as a urologist, but then after two catastrophic medical events, his world turned upside down. That experience sent him on a long, difficult journey through burnout, depression, and ultimately reinvention. Today, Dr. Lines is a writer, an advocate, and someone who believes we can't fix medicine until we fix how medicine treats its own. Here's my conversation with Dr. William Lines. Dr. Lines, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for inviting me.
So to start, you've described your medical practice in the 1990s as one that was thriving, but yes. Then a series of events really kind of changed everything and changed the dynamic. Could you kind of walk us through some of those pivot points?
Well, I trained at Stanford. I finished in 1987, and in 1987, I started practicing general urology in Riverside, California with Kaiser Permanente. And from 1987 until 1998, I was cruising or flying. I had a busy practice and a wonderful family that we were having a really good life. But as you mentioned, in 1998, I had a catastrophic event occur. I developed septic shock from a visit to Mexico, probably, and spent 6 weeks on a ventilator with septic shock. And I lost 40 pounds. I had a tracheostomy, and I had all the manifestations of sepsis. I was just incredibly sick. I was able to rehab and I went back to work, but when I went back to work about a year later, I had another catastrophic event, which involved a snowboarding accident in which I sustained facial fractures and had to be in intensive care unit again with a tracheostomy. I lost 40 pounds again, and I was able to rehab and go back to work. The problem for me is when I went back to work, things really were not the same. And I'll just briefly say that I had an incredible problem with depression. I found out that I had bipolar affective mood disorder, and I started really a downward spiral into destruction and ended up trying to commit suicide on three occasions. With my last suicide in 2003 attempt, I retired from medical practice, and I've been a retired physician since 2003.
Mm-hmm. And since then, I know you've been a preeminent writer on, you know, physician burnout and maybe some of the stigmas that come around mental health. Can you talk a little bit about that work and what motivated you to share your story and what you hope others can learn from?
Well, when I left medical practice in 2003, I was a humiliated, shamed person who really didn't think they were a physician anymore. I hid from the medical profession. I barely would go to my own doctor appointments. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't interact with my colleagues. And I continued that way until something happened to me in quite a while later in 2016. I mentioned, or I think maybe you mentioned, that I write fiction, and I went to a physician writing conference in Taos, New Mexico. And there I met a fellow physician who had a story of burnout and mental illness similar to mine. And she had written an essay which was published, and she recommended that I do the same. And so I wrote an essay that's entitled The Last Day, and it chronicles my last day of medical practice and my last suicide attempt. And it was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in 2016. I had a tremendous response to that. I basically was a physician with mental illness and a history of suicide attempt who talked about that, who people often say, well, you came out, using a cliche, about your mental illness. And since that time, I've been speaking and writing about physician burnout, the problem with physician suicide, and mental illness in medical practice.
Mm-hmm. And how did the process of writing and telling your story, putting it in words, how did that help you heal? And how might those same tools help others?
Well, for me, it was an overnight improvement. I went from being, like I said, a humiliated person who thought he was a former physician to all of a sudden recognizing that I was still a physician. And see, being a physician to me was incredibly important. I decided I wanted to go to medical school when I was 7 years old. And excuse me, I have a scratchy throat. I really dedicated my life to becoming a physician. So when I had to leave medical practice, like I said, I was very shameful. And so what I found, and this fellow physician had said she had the same experience, that talking about your problems, interacting with the physician community is very therapeutic. What I found was that there are many people like me, perhaps not exactly like me, but who had mental illness, who had events happening in their medical practice which had compromised their ability to do that. Yeah, and I just found again that I was a physician in a welcoming medical community. So for me, it's been just been tremendously therapeutic, and I would recommend people really being open about their problems in regard to this situation.
I want to pivot to some more systemic issues within the healthcare ecosystem. And I've seen in some of your past work that you've mentioned that the term burnout implies a single cause.
Right.
But in fact, each story and each individual is different and unique. And so I'd love to hear your take on how would you define burnout? And what do you see as some of the most under-recognized or misconstrued components of burnout today?
Well, I think burnout, it's a general term, and we need a general term for it. There is a syndrome out there of which is defined in a lot of articles, but there's sort of like three pillars to it. You know, it has to do with a loss of self-worth and enjoyment in your practice. So if we take that as sort of the general umbrella, under that, every single individual who has that is different. There is one unifying problem, however. I think almost every physician who says, I have burnout, has this particular problem. And I call that a culture of overwork. And I use the term culture of overwork instead of a lot of people use the term workaholic, or just overwork, and I do, because I think it is a culture. And I think that we physicians, first of all, we're sort of selected as overworkers. We overwork in college in order to get in medical school. We overwork in medical school in order to do a residency. Once you're in postgraduate training, you're basically required to overwork. And then it makes sense that this lifestyle that you've chosen, that you overwork, it spills over into your medical practice. And so I think that every individual with burnout is different. But I think they all have a component of this culture of overwork.
Yeah, you described this culture of overwork in medicine and how it starts in pre-med and even carries through through residency. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the role of training and its influence on burnout.
Yeah.
So I heard you in the past, you spoke about how medical schools, they teach you every technical skill in the book, except how to care for your own mental health. So from your vantage and from your viewpoint, what would a meaningful mental health curriculum look like for medical students and for residents?
Well, the way I look at this is that this, first of all, burnout, if we use that term, is really an epidemic problem in the medical community. And people who are looking at having access to mental health care and some other things. But to me, the issue really begins much earlier than your practice. I don't think you can really educate people in college, but I think you can educate people in medical school to really understand the simple concept that if you are going to be a successful clinician, a practicing physician, you also need to take very good health care of your own mental health. I think that the medical student needs to be introduced into the idea that you are entering a profession where there is a tremendous risk for your own mental health. And so I personally think that it should start definitely in the clinical years of medical school. I propose that there would be a ongoing lecture series throughout those 2 years. That would be 4 semesters or 6 quarters, depending upon the situation of your school. And it would be taught by visiting practicing physicians who basically are trying to communicate the fact that in order to practice excellent medical care, you need to take excellent care of your own mental health. And so they would talk about, first of all, the fact of what burnout is and what the risk factors to it are. And once they've defined that, move on to what you can do to keep yourself from having that problem, taking care of yourself, taking time off, being with your family, having a more well-rounded worldview than we come away usually from medical school with. And so I could envision just a series of lectures primarily led by the practicing physicians, but with the invitees of professors, of psychiatrists, of social workers, maybe financial people who talk about the fact that you're going to be able to make money and you need to be able to take care of your finances. And so I envision having a lot of different lectures that the clinical year medical students would be invited to attend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in addition to education, you know, there are several other interventions that could help physicians navigate their challenges with burnout. For example, you know, peer support, hotlines, buddy systems. Yeah. You even spoke about financial planning, maybe the institution of regular sabbaticals. If you had to pick one intervention to promote right now, given, you know, resources and institutional inertia,
right.
What would be your first priority and why?
Well, I would just go back to what I was just talking about. I think the first priority is to educate the medical student on what they're getting into. And let them know that as they go along in their practice, they need to be aware of their own mental health. See, for me, like you mentioned, my medical school, University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, I mean, I came away knowing exactly what to do medically in terms of knowledge and pharmacy and surgery and so forth, but I had no clue about what we're talking about. And I don't think it would have been successful if somebody had just told me occasionally, you need to take care of yourself. No, I think I needed to be immersed in this idea and told how to do it. See, for me, when I finally realized I had a problem, it was really too late. And I looked around and I did the things that you're mentioning. I mean, I tried to interact with my peers. I got psychiatric care. I tried to take time off and the things you're talking about. And I was really too far gone. And so I think for the majority of people, it really needs to begin early. So if I was going to concentrate resources, it would be to educating medical students about the risks of their practice. Mm-hmm.
In our current moment with, you know, a variety of physician shortages and increasing administrative burden, maybe rising pressures to prop up a successful business in this current macroeconomical environment, how do you see the issue of physician burnout evolving over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? And what gives you hope versus what might worry you about this issue?
When I look at the healthcare in the United States, I see a real problem. And I think it has to do with the deterioration of the physician-patient relationship. I think it began a long time ago, maybe 30 years ago, and it's been gradually deteriorating since that time. I think that's a big component of burnout as well. Physicians who practice medicine don't have control like they should. I mean, the reason that American medicine has really been the jewel in the world is because we used to value relationship between the patient and the doctor, and in the exam room, just to use a cliche, decisions were made. I'm not sure they're made like that anymore. So I wish I had a hope for it, but I'm not real optimistic. I think the only solution is that physicians who are practicing need to try to claw back their control. And the problem is the people who are in control now don't want to give it back. The people who are in control now are bureaucrats. They are big business. They are non-physicians. And they think that they make clinical decisions better than the physician and the patient. And so at every step where you see that your control has been taken away, you need to fight for it. I'm not sure if I would have done a very good job. I think, you know, when I remember back in 2000, I first became aware of physician assistants, and they were offering to do history and physicals for me before surgery. And I thought that was a great idea. But in retrospect, it wasn't, because it took away from me that very important time before surgery, where I would go through the medical history and then discuss in details what the surgery involved. And so as I look back, even at the beginning, there were a few other things, but it was a small problem at that time. Now it's become really an overwhelming problem. And I think that lack of control is an emotional injury to the physician, which contributes to burnout.
Mm-hmm. Last question here for you, Dr. Lines. You've transformed, you know, your experiences and your personal crisis into, I think, a mission of advocacy for those listening, what advice would you give them that maybe you wish you had heard at the start of your own career?
I think that people should recognize practicing medicine is a wonderful thing. It's a noble profession, and that you can do so much good with it. But you can only do good. You can only practice excellent medical care if you take excellent care of your own mental health. And doing that is not a simple thing, but it has to do with being a more well-rounded person who is involved with their family, with church, with the community, in addition to being very involved with their patients and clinical ideas and factors. And I think that it's a simple thing. It's very hard to put into practice. That would be my advice.
Well, Dr. Lines, thank you so much for your candor, your vulnerability, and for your willingness to share your story.
Hey, thank you, Andrew.
That's it for today's episode of Curie. If you found this conversation valuable, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on all of the common streaming platforms. Also, please consider sharing this episode with someone who might benefit. It really does make a difference. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other.